This informative podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. Visit healthrangerstore.com/science for a selection of science-backed, laboratory-tested superfoods and nutritional products. Thank you for your support. The title of this podcast is, yes, Ebola can be carried by symptomless carriers, and it can be transmitted to other people from individuals who are not showing any symptoms of Ebola. And it's amazing to me how little the so-called experts seem to know about transmission of infectious disease. You know, you could go back to the New York Times. I think it was the year 2000 or very close to that. I'll have to check. And they did a story with almost that exact title that, yeah, Ebola symptomless carriers. Go on duckduckgo.com and search for it yourself. New York Times, Ebola symptomless carriers. You'll find the story I'm referring to. Or you can just go to the National Library of Medicine and you can look at the research. It's published in The Lancet, which is one of the supposedly most authoritative medical science journals in the world. And I've looked at the study. And the study should alarm anybody concerned about Ebola transmission for the simple reason that the study looked at people in the Congo, and it's those people, I mean, people from the Congo who are being imported into Texas right now as new immigrants, and they're being dropped off in San Antonio, Texas, and bused to other cities around Texas and North America. And these are people who say in interviews with journalists from InfoWars, these are people who say that they are trying to escape Ebola because there have been new outbreaks of Ebola in the Congo. Now, here's the shocking part about all this. If you look at the study that's published in The Lancet, the study says that they found Ebola antibodies in everyone that they studied in the Congo. Every single person carried Ebola antibodies. Well, what does that mean? It means that according to mainstream science, mainstream virologists, it means that everyone was exposed and that many people survived it. They built antibodies. They obviously did not die. And this is a disease that we're told has an 80% mortality rate. Well, let's suppose that that's true. That means there are 20% who don't die. And out of those 20% who don't die, it's very likely that the vast majority of those have no symptoms. Because once you start showing symptoms of Ebola infections, you're pretty much gone because you're bleeding out of every hole in your face and your body. It's sort of like you either beat it early or you don't beat it at all. So maybe 20% of the population there, based on these estimates, is immune to Ebola, which means they can carry it. And they can carry it and show no symptoms. Now, what else is amazing about this study is they did identify 25 people in this particular study that they labeled symptomless carriers. 25 people that tested positive for Ebola, but showed no symptoms whatsoever, which means they had Ebola virus throughout their blood, in their sperm, in their body, in their tissues, in their saliva. You know, these viruses, they don't just limit themselves to one small area of your body. They spread through every tissue they can have access to. It's just like when you have hepatitis C, for example. Hepatitis C is in all your blood and most of your body secretions, you know, saliva, snot, everything else. Same thing with almost every viral infection. Not all. There are exceptions. You know, some viruses survive better in different kinds of terrain on your body or in your body. That's true. But by and large, a viral infection that has infested your body that you are carrying, you're carrying it across your body, across all your blood and many other tissues that are, of course, you know, fueled by your blood, in essence. Every living cell in your body has to be in contact with your blood, right? Otherwise the cells aren't living. By definition. So these people were known to carry Ebola. And what else is interesting is that this study asserted that many people could carry Ebola and they would not be diagnosed with Ebola for some extended period of time. That even when you're infected at first, you can be carrying Ebola but not test positive for Ebola for some number of days. And it's kind of a mystery of how many days this is. It might be 3 days, it might be 10 days. But there's some period of time, early incubation time, during which an infected person will not be testable for Ebola. So keep all this in mind as they are importing people from the Congo into the United States and putting them in cities like San Antonio and spreading them around America. Many of these people, no doubt, have been exposed to Ebola. Some of them might be Ebola stealth carriers. They should be tested for Ebola antigens. But to my knowledge, there aren't any Ebola tests being done on these individuals. They're just being brought in and distributed all across America as if there's no risk. That's pretty shocking, considering that the study from almost 20 years ago documented 100% antigen rate in the population studied in the Congo. Now, I don't know where they got those people that they studied in the Congo. Maybe they were rural Congo versus urban Congo. And I don't know where these migrants are from in the Congo. But we know that people from the Congo can carry Ebola and show no symptoms. And that might be very different from a typical North American individual. In other words, there might be some natural immunity among Africans against Ebola, some natural immunity that is not present in a lot of North Americans or European descent individuals. And as a good piece of knowledge on this that you need to know, you know how African Americans are subjected to a disease called sickle cell anemia? And it's known to be a risk factor for, you know, Black Americans and Black Europeans and so on. You might wonder, well, what is it about sickle cell anemia? Like, why would Black people be cursed with this genetic vulnerability that makes them more susceptible to, you know, different health conditions that can be fatal? Well, I bet you have never been told that that same trait that causes sickle cell anemia also makes people of African origin more resilient against viral infections. Sickle cell anemia is not a defect. Sickle cell anemia is actually a feature. It's a survival mutation that has kept Africans alive when they would otherwise be killed. And in fact, this may explain why so many of these study subjects from the Congo were able to carry Ebola and show no symptoms. But you, as let's suppose you're a Caucasian person listening to this, okay? So you as a Caucasian person, you don't have that protection that is, you know, called sickle cell anemia when it goes wrong. You don't have that genetic mutation. You don't have the same defenses against viral infections that people of African descent do. In the same way that you don't have the same amount of melanin in your skin. You don't have the same defenses against ultraviolet radiation that people of African descent do. And a lot of people forget that Black skin is a defensive mechanism against very harsh sunlight. Black skin is a survival mechanism. It's a feature. The same thing's true with sickle cell anemia, believe it or not. I know you've probably never heard this before. I bet you 99 out of 100 doctors have no clue what I'm talking about there. They've never heard of that either. I bet you. Go ask your doctor. They've never heard of that. But you wonder, why do these diseases persist in populations in Africa? It's because the African people are immune to them and they can carry them without dying. They can carry them and spread them through sexual contact or even in some cases, casual contact. These viruses can be spread through food and water and other means. And because so many of the people in Africa are immune to this, they could be symptomless carriers. show no signs, and never be killed by the disease. You know, there's this false assumption that everybody who's exposed to Ebola dies. Not true. Not true at all. In fact, the 80% fatality rate statistic actually comes from 80% die after they start to show symptoms. That 80% doesn't mean that 80% of people who are exposed to Ebola die from it. Not even close. In fact, if you expose maybe 100 people from the Congo to Ebola, it might be the case, and I'm not saying this is the right number, this is just a suggestion, it might be the case that you only get 10 fatalities out of the 100 exposed. And you might get the other 90% are immune carriers. It would be interesting to find out the exact number. But I have a very strong suspicion, and I'm pretty sure with a little additional research, I could find some studies on this, a very strong suspicion that Ebola kills white people with a far greater fatality rate than it does people of African descent. So do with that fact whatever you want, but it's a factor in all of this. So keep this stuff in mind. This is important. You understand the whole concept of symptomless carriers, because the media almost never talked about that. And again, the New York Times would never cover this today, not with the admissions that they made back in the year 2000. They don't want you to know that migrants can carry diseases, and that migrants being imported into the United States right now are carrying measles and carrying hepatitis, carrying all kinds of diseases. And they're not being properly screened. They're not being stopped. And they're being distributed across U.S. cities. And sickness is spreading across America. It's almost like a biological weapon delivery system, a distributed network of human weapons. Yeah, it's pretty twisted. It's pretty sick. And it just goes to show you the whole contradiction of when they say, well, the way to keep everybody healthy is just take more vaccines, take more vaccines. Well, that's the answer. Why are you importing so many unhealthy people, so many infected people into this country? Wouldn't it be good to stop the infection exposure and not just rely on vaccines? Besides, who wants to get an Ebola vaccine? Sounds like a kind of a risky proposition. What if they didn't weaken the virus sufficiently? And then you get Ebola infections from the Ebola vaccine. We know that the measles and mumps vaccines actually spread the measles and mumps in some cases, in many cases. Almost all the outbreaks happen among those who were already vaccinated. If the same thing is true with Ebola, and if they start rolling out Ebola vaccines, they're probably going to cause or accelerate an Ebola pandemic, which is maybe what they want. Who knows? These globalists and medical authorities are completely insane. We know that they hate humanity. We know that they're into depopulation. We know that they like to attack conservative states like Texas. So if you're wondering why these particular people are being deposited into Texas and not, let's say, Los Angeles, well, you may have, the answer may be self-evident. But think about these issues and keep reading naturalnews.com. We're banned everywhere now. We're censored everywhere, specifically so that you don't learn this information. They don't want you to know the science studies that we cite, the studies that are out there. They're published in The Lancet. They're published in Nature. They're published in other journals. And yet, you're never supposed to know about these studies. You're only supposed to know the science that they want you to know. Because, you know, real science is verboten, not allowed. And when I cite scientific studies, even though I'm citing the same journals that everybody else is citing, they will call my story fake news, even though I'm citing, again, the exact same journals that they're citing. That's how desperate they are that you don't learn the truth. It's just stunning. In any case, keep reading naturalnews.com. And you can also read science.news. That's a site that we publish. Science.news covers infectious diseases, viruses, and many discoveries in physics and chemistry and space exploration, and so on. So check it out, science.news. Thanks for listening. This is Mike Adams. Be safe.
If you want to make it through these trying times, you're going to need full cognitive function. You're going to need your mental faculties. And there's no better way to achieve that than to turn to good nutrition, brain-supporting nutrition. That's what we offer at the Health Rangers store. We do more testing than any retailer in the world to make sure that you have the cleanest food in the world, because I believe that that's how we change the world. We change the world through clean food. We help people live better, think better, and we get better results in the world. It all starts with food and nutrition. Check it out. We have over 700 products now at healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support.